get down to the business that brought us here today. A warm welcome to all those who have been working very hard for their respective parties. I know that it is a very exciting time for all of us. Welcome to honorable members and our guests from the department and our regulars, from our research and our honorary member of this committee, from the CSIR.
An occasional member.
Yeah. And a special word of welcome to Aziza. Welcome. You're a member of this committee, man. The CSIR is just claiming you because they can afford you, but otherwise you belong here. Renee, thanks for being there all the time. And the Dada Den and the Budveli, welcome, man. Yeah. Dada Faro, it's always a pleasure to see you here. Yes, we are going to organize more meetings before the election so that
you can see more of you.
Yeah, you know. Okay, thanks. Mr. Blanchet, this is perhaps our last meeting for the year as a committee meeting. We did indicate in the previous meeting that we might be called upon to come and conclude this task. So thanks for honoring the invitation as well. I wish I could go one by one, Sis B. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, comrade?
Yeah.
Honestly? Whip, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dadim
Nyandu, you know what I mean?
We don't feel left out.
Budislao, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Okay, and all the other guests at the back, thanks and welcome. We called upon to consider the short list of nominees by the minister in terms of the act to appoint the board for the Technology Innovation Agency. As you know, the act was passed early this year, in December actually, late last year, and we met to consider the names that the minister gave us. At that time, the matter was not formally brought or tabled. It was tabled on the 6th of March, and that's when we started to make arrangements for us to come back here and just look at the names and things like this. I must say that we have asked for the copy of the referral as well. I did get confirmation that it was referred, but I wanted members also just to have the benefit of that referral. But we did confirm that the matter was duly referred, so there won't be a technicality in terms of irregular appointments that we were worried about the last time. In terms of the content, I think that members had the time to go through the names and the CVs that were provided before. You were given another copy just in case you forgot that one at home or whatever, or you filed it away, so that we can just take some comments and conclude this task today, hopefully. There will be plenary next week, on the 24th, I'm told. So I was advised that the chair might want to just give an input for 5 minutes about recommending some of the outcomes of this meeting. But it's a straightforward matter, I want to believe. But maybe before we get to the gist and everything else, I must just allow members general comments, if any, and then we can come to the issues before us. At the conclusion of this, the young man next to me, Tembinko, has prepared a report that might take into account, that should take into account whatever decisions will come out here. Can I allow members just to say whatever they want to say for now?
Yes.
Mr. Farrow.
Thanks very much. I appreciate the work that went into this documentation. There were some later CVs, which we've just got today. But I just want to get clarity on the members of boards and entities that are going to be incorporated. Whether, you know, we can identify which agencies, first of all, so we know where they're coming from. Because in the emerging, let's call it that, of the proposals put before us here for the top, the 10 or so, yeah, there's obviously an overlap of expertise, which, you know, needs to be taken into consideration. And at the same time, one wants some continuity as well. So I just wanted clarity on who these people, you know, where they come from, really, so that we can just try and tie up our mind, and then we can think, you know, about the need or not of those overlapping functionaries. Thanks, Chair.
Hmm.
Yeah, it'd be useful if you just reminded us of what we expected to do. Just remind me, for example, how many, what do we do with the short list? Do we confirm it, sanctify it, what do we do? Can we make alterations? And but your opening comment about maybe having to present something in the National Assembly, I think you should go for it. And I think we should welcome 3 or 4 minutes in the National Assembly, because we've been through a very long and hazardous and hard process to get to the point where it is confirmed that Parliament has a say in the appointment of these boards. So you remember we were at a long fight with a very intransigent department and to some extent minister even. But that finally Parliament won the day, and we have confirmed that Parliament indeed has a role to play when it comes to the appointment of these very important boards. That needs to be said. We need to claim the victory in Parliament to encourage other committees who are also battling with similar appointments to follow the line that we've adopted. So I would really encourage you to say something, say a few words on the appointment of this particular board, but generally also the appointment of boards and the long process we followed in the Assembly when we meet next week.
Thanks, Comrade. And you, Mr. Blushing?
Mr. Chairman, I have a little bit of a concern about members of this board, of the shortlist, who are, in fact, officials of department. And I would have loved us to discuss whether such a name should appear here or not. I do believe that we do not have to bring those people in. That's why we elect a board. It comes from outside.
Is
there any specific
thing
that you're thinking about? Anybody else? All right. We were reminded the last time, you know, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just want to check whether we should set up out our own criteria, or should we use the criteria that is set in the bill? Because if there's nothing in the bill that says those people who are serving as current public service staff cannot participate, then we can entertain that. But if we're going to come up with some new criteria, let us come up with criteria. Do we have time to do that? I'm not sure. I'm just checking.
Very good.
We should be guided by the bill, not
yes.
by the act actually, not by
yes.
you know what
good.
We think would be good for us.
Good
thank
point.
You. What I like about this committee is that you've got a balance of wise people here, you know, that always bring us back to say, listen, regardless of our feeling, this is what the law says, okay? But also to say that let's look into the pitfalls that might arise in terms of positions and balls. I mean, that's a good balance. Let's keep it that way. But let me, I might also come back to you, Braden. to remind us who are the people who came from different institutions or BRICS or whatever that we were told about last week in terms of the list. Because we were informed by the department that here is continuity and change, you see, where you want to continue with the existing institutions that are getting incorporated into the agency in terms of this law, you see, the chairs of those to be able to participate, but also bring in new blood, you see. So we'll just take the department to just remind us of those. But also to say what we're expected to do is really to consider this whole thing in terms of what the law says, right? It's not just a matter of rubber stamping, but also not just a matter of rejecting for the sake of it. What is in our interest is to have this thing implemented in this financial year, okay? So that these people can start the work and so on, so that we don't have problems of coming into the new financial year without those boards being appointed. I think that's one of the things that we're trying also to deal with. But just to clarify the point that's also raised by Mr. Blanchet, and also the concern raised by the work, there is a disqualification criteria in terms of who may not participate in the board. I won't read it all, but just to say a person who's declared by a competent court of law to be mentally ill, just to give an example, who's convicted of an offence and sentenced to imprisonment without the option of a fine, an elected member of the National Assembly, provincial legislature, or the council of a municipality, or an NCOP member, and so on, a person who's not a South African or South African citizen, or who ceased to be one, who's removed from the position of trust by a competent court of law, and an unrehabilitated insolvent. Those are the people who may not participate in the. So that answers the question that you're raising, Comrade Maloney, and also the concern that Mr. Blanchet is raising. I think those are the general issues that I just thought we must deal with. Now, the law, in terms of numbers, what the Act provides is that among these people there must be a chairperson, not less than 6 and not more than 9 members, and the chief executive officer of the agency as an ex officio member. In other words, the chief executive will be appointed but will also be a member of the board. Okay? And secondly, you'll have, let's say, maximum of 9 people plus the chair, 10. So what we have said in the law is that we must give the minister sufficient number to select from. But my understanding was that the names were given in that order of preference, from number 1 to number 18 for this purpose. But for now, for our purposes, maybe up to 10. Those are the sure cases. Going down would be the reserves. We did ask the department to contact and consult with these people in between. I was assured that they did. And that's the list they are presenting to us. Then before I take members to engage in terms of specifics, can I check with you if there are any comments?
No, everything is in order.
Everything is in order. Do you want to remind us of people who are serving in?
From where?
Can you just switch on your mic there, so?
Mr. Allen Lex from Plan Bio, and Mr. Ross Norton from Life Lab, Dr. Cornelius from BioPet, Miss Helen Brown, we'll just check now from which BRICS is coming from, and Professor Susan Harrison. Those are the five names from the current BRICS, board members of the current BRICS. So is number three in on the list number seven?
Okay. Thank you very much. So the intention here was to have continuity with those who are currently serving and to add some new blood. So if we take the numbers from 1 to 10, I'm going to open for comments and some reflections on these matters, members.
The reason I raised the issue of the continuity and the merging was to look at that aspect in terms of not duplicating, you know, expertise. Now, as I read the CVs of number two and number three, where Mr. Lax has come in from Plan Bio or whatever, there is a duplication in terms of legal there. Now, this board, as I understand it, is really a board which the Act clears out quite clearly of knowledge and experience in innovation, technology management, intellectual property. Now, in that respect, one would assume that you're looking, you know, at having certainly people that are more knowledgeable about the technical side with a link to the legal side, particularly when it comes to intellectual property. And at the same time, because this Act says that there has to be an investment framework policy, that you would need to strengthen that with someone with business and financial support. Now, I don't know whether we've actually captured that in that respect, when we've got two people that are basically legally minded, you know, sitting in on the board. It might just be a little bit of a duplication. I can't, in reading both CVs, although one is very brief, establish whether we can actually use one of the legal persons to become a financial person or not. Because normally you can link it up with some sort of a BCom, you know, whatever. So my concern there is clearly on that particular aspect. So we've brought somebody in who's got, for continuity purposes, a legal background, and at the same time a certain amount of technical, but we could end up with in fact, you know, duplicating. And I think the idea would be to rationalize rather and to get a broader cross-section of people as opposed to having two with the same type of background. That's my biggest problem I have at the moment.
Okay. Any further comments? Mr. Ensley?
I'm quite happy with the list we've presented with. It must have been extremely difficult to make any kind of choice. I read and reread these CVs. It was just so difficult to say who should be top of the list, who should be at the bottom of the list. It was worse than our internal party list process. It was far more difficult than that, because really every single one of these people, I think, would do the board justice. We've got very balanced, as you pointed out, between a new blood and those people who have had experience for the sake of continuity. We have demographics, we have male, we have female, and I'm very happy. In fact, and the skills that each of these people have, very cross-cutting. I don't think we can say that any single person is purely a legal person, or any single person is purely business. That amazed me, Chair, is how cross-cutting all their skills are. The legal have business and financial, the financial have legal. And so I want to disagree a little bit there with Mr. Farrer. I believe that skills in the top 10 are very cross-cutting, and we need not fear that there's going to be an overemphasis on finance, an overemphasis on legal. It is not there. My only slight, and I must tell you, I'm extremely happy with that Michelle Carolus, for various reasons, is very high up on the list. Very happy with that. But my only slight disappointment, reservation, and I wouldn't know what to do about it, is I believe Professor Adam, is it Adam?
Yeah.
The former DG of the department. Is the former DG of the department?
Yeah.
A little disappointed, maybe, because he must have a huge amount of expertise, not only as to how the department functions, but how these very entities we wish to incorporate in the new agency, how they function. And my only slight disappointment is that perhaps he's not higher up on the list, but I really wouldn't make an issue of it. But generally, I'm very happy with the, very, very, very happy with the list. I'm pleased that the list wasn't longer than 18, because it would have been even more difficult to make any kind of assessment and decision based on the information we have. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Farrow. Actually, Roy has raised my concern. I would like the woman to be at the bottom, because we've got few women. But my concern was that Rob Adam has been in the department. But maybe we can put him as we talked of the reserves, because I'm sure we won't be taking all those 6 people. I mean, the other people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, we won't be making all of them reserves. I think from those 8 people, we'll come out maybe with 3 names. Because if we've got the whole 8 as reserves, we haven't done anything. So he might be in the reserve. Or else, if and when the department then comes up with, if the board comes up in place, it might use the expertise of Rob Adam in one of its committees. But we can have him definitely as a reserve with his fund of experience in science and technology.
You want to comment?
Chair, initially he was on the top chair, but the difficulty was when we had to balance the issue of gender. And this other 5 members from the current BRICS, that was a difficulty, and that's why he's where he is. But we would welcome any advice in terms of how we go forward from the honorable members. We recognize his ability, his experience, and the contribution that he would make. He's the one who identified this gap in the National Research and Development Strategy. But we are welcome to get guidance from the committee.
Yes. Does the department know who is going to be the chief executive?
That will be a board process, Chair. Our intention is to make sure that we appoint the board, which will assist the minister in terms of running the organization. So it's a board which will make a recommendation for cabinet to make approval of the CEO. Currently, no one, the minister cannot dictate to the board who will be a CEO or not. The due process of recruitment should be followed. Thanks.
No, no, I'm raising this deliberately. Because if the good professor is somebody that we see so much value in, you see, and the chief executive is also going to be a member of the board, ex officio member, then it might be something that needs just to be raised for consideration. But the board must take the decision. Like you're saying, in terms of the fiduciary duty to be able to do that. I'm leaving this matter there and checking for further comments.
So if I have to respond to that one, cabinet just approved, just renewed his contract for the next 3 years. And NEXA is a critical institution in the national system of innovation, because he's one of those few people with nuclear physics background in the country.
So he's got a renewal for
3 years. For 3 years, with effect from the 1st of March. So
Yes.
So I think it would be difficult for him to move out of NEXA. The only way the board can advance in this process is either as a board member or if he's co-opted as a committee, in one of the subcommittees of the board.
Okay, no. Useful information. Thanks. Mr. Blanchet, you wanted to say something?
Mr. Chairman, I've looked at all these and I've looked at the technological backgrounds, because that's where we're going to need their expertise. And for that reason, I shuffled the first 15 and threw out number 2, number 4, and number 5, because to me, I don't see why we should have them there, because of they don't contribute as far as technological background is concerned. And I was particularly looking at number 15. I replaced number 15 to number 5, because in the changing world, this person is involved with an extremely valuable job creation industry. And from out of that, it seems to me that that person should have been much higher up. And I'm not sure how you're going to now grade it, because I would believe every one of us would probably have a separate list. And that list, as you can see, mine has changed from putting number 15 onto number 5, number 13 onto number 1, and so have I changed it. And I'm not sure how we going to get agreement. Mr. Craig Fenter, no, I don't believe he should be there. I said it before, and I cannot stop saying it. I don't think he's such an inventor.
Interesting. Thanks. Yes,
sir.
I'll come to you.
Chairperson, I mean, you know, without actually interviewing the person, you know, and picking up on their personality and their dynamics, it's very difficult for us to undertake an exercise. I think the sort of scrutinizing that we would be doing, as I understand it, having done this many times before with the Road Accident Board, I can tell you, over 10 years, I mean, Roy will know about that. But basically, what we've got to try and do is to make sure that the board complies with the Act in terms of the representation, in terms of the all the implications of competency and skills. Now, the only thing that I can pick up, which in terms of the proposal in front of us, is that we seem to be heavy on one side in terms of that and weak on the other, because the second or the third issue related to this Act, which I think is the most important thing, is that investment framework. That, to my mind, needs someone with business and financial skills to put that together. And I've gone through trying to pick up, there's bits and pieces of you know, people having those or touched on those skills in this particular first, let's call it the top 10. But clearly, you know, we need to have more detail, specifically if there is people that expertise goes beyond. In other words, you know, I mean, a one-page legal sort of CV does not inherently give me the sort of picture down below in terms of the work and skills or any experience that to that extent. But the other one I have, which was raised by my colleague, Mr. Blanchet, is the aspect of Mr. Gordon Craig Fenter. Now, he is currently an LTIC person who claims to be a strategist and transformation specialist within his own business. Now, clearly it's a family business of which, you know, reading through it, it sounded like very much a trumpet-blowing exercise. And I wonder whether Altec has not got a conflict of interest in terms of where this particular board wants to go with technology in terms of cellular and also, you know, all that type of technology relating to communication. So one has to be very careful. You know, he immediately strikes me in reading all the CVs as the one person that's intimately involved in a particular business which could see benefit at the end of the day. And I think that oversight role that we have here is a very important one. We've got to decide today, does he or does he not have a conflict of interest? And if he does, then we've certainly got to say to the minister, Minister Bokoi, pass off. So that's my one reservation, Chair, which I'd like to put in. And I still then would like to just get the panel, or those people that were involved here, who have more intimate knowledge, no doubt, than we have, than what we've got in front of us here, as to whether we've got people here that can look after the interests, not only of good governance of this board, but of the business aspect of it, and its associated role of investment framework policy, which has to be compiled by the board, and then monitored by that board in terms of Section 3 or 5 of the responsibilities. If we can get those answers, maybe, Chair, we're getting closer.
Chair, I think I support from Mr. Andrew's point of view that at least up to, from 1 up to 10, we can, I support these men. And also around the vested interest of individual people. As long as those invested interests can benefit the country, because everybody has his or her own vested interest. As long as they are not going to, you know, go beyond the borders of this country, but they will benefit the country, I think they are welcome if they are so. Also, the question that was raised by the department that they had difficulty even to balance the gender point of view. And right now we've got only 3 women, females, who are going to participate in this board. And the entire government is still having a problem of reaching, you know, the exact percentage of women participating in these higher decision-making bodies. I think these women that are appearing in this top 10 should, whatever reshuffling and whatever thing that we are thinking of doing, let's leave them like that, because even the number is not enough. The 3 is not even enough. Thanks, Chair.
Actually, 4.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Sorry about the phone that rang. We thought it off. Sorry.
6 actually.
Yes. Excuse me.
Number 15, which was a concern for one colleague, and number 13, maybe we can look at them and give them to the minister to play around with, if we're not going to give only 10 names, but we'll give 10 names to the 2 of last 3.
Okay. Bumnyandu?
No comment.
Okay.
The disadvantage I have, I received the document this morning.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to. I'll give you the opportunity to say that. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. You can have my secretary from the 22nd.
Yeah.
Just teasing. Would you hold on?
Madam Chairman, I'm going back to Greg.
To what?
Greg
Gordon Fenter.
Yes.
According to the CV here, his profile is that he's a chief executive officer of Altec, which is a full-time job. Earlier we were raising the issue of the renewal of the contract of Professor Martin. He's just not going the same direction. The fact that he's doing a full-time job as CEO of Altec, a very big electronic company. Very challenging. Does that not assist us to say he might not be available at all times to do the post work?
Thank you, Chair. I think maybe this would also respond to colleague Farrow's query. If we've got somebody who's a CEO, he does have an understanding of finances and business of whichever area that person is. Maybe these people will be able to enrich the board itself. Thanks.
Can I just comment further?
I'll come back to you.
All right,
thank you.
One of the issues that you considered was the issue that was raised by Honorable Farrow about balancing competencies. And Mr. Gordon Craig Fenter was brought in precisely because of his background in science and technology and his business acumen. Because TIA would be operating along the business principles. And that's one of the key issues that was identified. Same thing with Dr. Mamphele Ramphele and Cheryl Kerola. Actually, Dr. Mamphele Ramphele being in a venture capital space, TIA, one of the first thing that they have to do would be the investment framework. So we're trying to balance that those skills, basically, to say someone who has been a vice president of World Bank, who understands developmental issues, who understands business environment, how do we balance that? And Dr. Craig Fenter came very strongly in that regard.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair, what I wanted to comment about in terms of the qualifications and the background of the young, let's call him, Altec CEO, is that this is a family business of which he climbed the ladder quite dramatically in terms of his role there. And, you know, it might be superficial in the sense that what we read here about all these particular moves up and down could be overemphasized. That's all I want to say. That, you know, with his father's previous MD and him coming in, it was a family where he embraced, you know, his son into the business. And clearly, from all accounts, I think one has to be very cautious of a situation like that, where the experience gained, I mean, obviously in sitting in that situation as opposed to working through the ranks and working into a system where you actually got there on merit, there's a certain amount of tendency to move family quicker than you would if you had to go and graft for it like most people do. So what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, one has to be cautious. If you look at the whole range of his directorships, these are small companies that have been created by Altec around various component parts of the business. And, you know, he's listed as directors and chairmen, etc., on about 20 of these particular subsidiaries. And clearly, I have a little bit of problem when you look at some of the subsidiaries in terms of innovation and technology that we're trying to create in this country and whether there wouldn't be a conflict of interest. And I would like to record that, whether he's recommended by the board or this committee or whether, and to the minister, that there is an expression of concern here. And that's all I'm tabling, Chair. An expression of concern over ability, number one, and two, the conflict of interest that could occur out of his role in Altec. Finished and clear.
No, you see, I can repeat that I have no difficulty with the list as presented. I would hate us to attempt here now today to reconstitute the panel and rearrange everything. I honestly don't believe there's a need for that. With regard to Altec, yes, I inherited the business, so what? That business under his stewardship has been unbelievably successful. If you look at page 13, it's not that the business has not failed. He's won award after award. The thing is continues to be a multi-million rand project. Just a long list of successes under his stewardship. So what if he inherited anything? He certainly didn't inherit the degrees that he's got. He certainly didn't inherit the experience he's got. He certainly didn't inherit the success that he's achieved since he was appointed. So, Chair, I have no difficulty with Altec. Clash of interest, well, almost all of the other people too would have some kind of clash of interest. There are ways and means of avoiding that and getting around that. Again, my only slight disappointment is Dr. Adam, and I would hope that the list we produce here and we forward, I'm not too sure, are we restricted to 10 names? Are we restricted to the number of people we forward?
No,
if we're not,
we give more.
Yeah.
But the first 10 names are the ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't get too excited, but I would hope that the list we forward includes even at the bottom somewhere Dr. Adams. So we just remind the minister that he's around still. But Altec, I have no problems with. Cheryl Carolus is a businesswoman in her own right. I've got no problems with her. I like the idea very much as a senior member of the ANC. I like the idea that a senior member of the ANC sitting there who knows government, who networks government, who networks with the ANC, who sits there on this very, very important board. So I've no, despite the fact she's an important business person in her own right with her international business experience, I have no problem with her. Business skills. Thank you.
Can I just follow up, please?
Please go ahead.
I never at 1 minute indicated when I was discussing this particular candidate that it needs to have a reconvention of the panel. I'm dealing solely with our role here as a committee in terms of five, which I might just reiterate, says the members of the board contemplated, that's this, that has been given to us by the panel, elected, must be in consultation with the National Assembly. This is us here, the National Assembly, on the grounds of their knowledge and experience and technical management, and so on. That's all I'm trying to do. The minister has the right at the end of the day to decide who and which person he would like to have represented. But it's the importance of this committee to express what they believe is in consultation with the minister, where they feel there is problems that could arise with the board, or alternatively in terms of the level of competency and the skills that are not there in terms of the original act. Now, that's all I'm trying to express to you. I don't want to get into a situation where we're talking about reconvening the panel. That was never my intention. I don't even have, I never even mentioned it. But at the end of the day, we've got to make sure that we are being consulted, which is what we are doing today, and that we are putting opinions over whether we agree or disagree with it in terms of the short list. And I just want to point out that I believe that number 8, Mr. Fenter, has a conflict of interest and is not necessarily the right person for the particular board. Now that can be minuted, it can be recorded, and the minister is then has this in the back of the mind when he makes his final decision. Let him do that, Chair.
I'm trying to look into the law here just to check how we deal with issues of conflict of interest. But I'm sure that's a matter that we can deal with. But in other jurisdictions, in other legislations, those matters are captured in terms of how you deal with them. But let me come to this type of comments that I have on my side. You see, I must agree with Mr. Ensley as well that we ought to claim this as a victory. You see, to say that in the previous boards, we were just seeing things announced. And whether you have reservations or no reservations with certain candidates, it was water under the bridge. And that alone has made even the department to take this process much more seriously than what used to happen before, where people who have failed in boards were just recycled and came back to boards of not only science and technology, but others as well that I were exposed to. So the limitation here is that there were no proper interviews either way. Even ourselves, we haven't spoken to these people to be able to assess and make sense of some of the comments that we're making. So that's the only limitation, but it's fine. We've got to live with that.
We'll learn.
Yes, and we learn. It's a first attempt, and also I don't want us. We won't get a pure board now. It's a new board that we've got to give 4 years to prove itself, to remove at a later stage by those who will be available around, and or to give them continuity in them at a later stage. But I also want us to show goodwill as a committee that ours is not just to sit here and become armchair critics, you see, say we don't like this. We must be activists in this process to say that we want this law to succeed. And I've got no doubt in my mind, having looked at all the candidates, even the ones that are below, that these are South Africans who presented themselves to be available, to serve the nation in this capacity. So we must accept their goodwill as well and have faith in the process that have been taken, undertaken up to so far. That's the only thing I want to say in terms of just the way forward. Like I said before, we didn't, like in other boards that we are appointing, that are appointed, whether National Assembly or committees, have the benefit of interviewing these people ourselves to assess and satisfy ourselves that there won't be conflict of interest, for instance, there won't be this, that, and the other. But I'm raising this matter because I'm just saying that we rely on the panel that has presented us with this name to say that we've got the same they've got the same interest as at heart that we have. But also the balancing of competences that we're talking about. You know, the law provides that these people must collectively, you know, be able to attain the objectives of this act. If it's not one individual who has got this, that, and the other, but collectively, if you look into their experience and skills, they must be able to ensure that this piece of legislation and the board succeed. And the criteria is stipulated in the law. We don't have to go back to it. Members have raised many important matters like the new blood that we're getting, the skills that are cross-cutting, the demographic profiles that are there, and the issue of certain individuals like Professor Adam that you were talking about, and the issue of the ability to strengthen the financial capacity of this board. That is the thing that will be in the report, basically to say that we need to look into that. And the issue of the conflict of interest, I think we'll raise it in the report, but I would suggest to members that it would be inappropriate for us as a committee to raise the name, for instance, of a certain individual here, whether Mr. Fenter or anybody else. All of them, you see, are subjected to the to that criteria that we say that we must guard against issues of conflict of interest. Not particular individual. I'm just raising it so that members must, when they see the report, say that in particular Mr. Fenter. I mean, it would be inappropriate to raise the name, but I'm sure the point is made about Altec and the other matters. There might be others as well. So let's just raise the two important matters, whilst appreciating all the other good things that are there, to say that it's important that we strengthen the financial and business ability of this board to be able to deal with that and to deal with and guard against issues of conflict of interest. I think those will be the highlights, except for the other issues that you have raised as positive points that are coming out of here. But in saying that, I'm going to put the names at least up to 15. We can have, in terms of priority, and then we will come back to that. Let me just check if we're summarizing more or less our convergence on this one. Mr. Farrow.
At the same time, reiterate what you said. I mean, we were party to this clause 5. In fact, as a DA, I just want to reiterate our support for this process. I was very vocal on this issue to try and get a certain amount of transparency into the process, because we as politicians might know more than the minister who is subjected to a particular list, you know, in front of him, where he can make an informed decision. The consultation process that we are and we call for as well, which we supported here, was purely to bring to the attention the minister in his final decision, you know, areas of concern. Let's call that the consultation process. So we are also 100% behind what has been said here in terms of this process, and we commend the panel for having to brought to us these lists. We are now, as individuals, and coming from different parties and as part of this committee, are now expressing, in terms of the consultation, concerns. That's all. Whether the minister takes heed of this or whether he doesn't really is up to him at the end of the day. But that is our role, I believe. And we are just putting it on the table. I'm saying that number 8, as far as I'm concerned, I have a concern about, because of the implications of this being a private company, as opposed to looking at the range of other candidates who come from the academic world and are more there in terms of the capacity as researchers, biotechnologists, etc., 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 versus this particular industry, which is a business, multi-million rand business, operating in a competitive environment out there that could have knowledge which would conflict with the particular role of this TIA. That's what I want, Minister, that's what I want to say to you. That's all, Chair. And we've already discussed the other one where I believe there is an employee of government which could in fact be there in an ex officio capacity working or on a board. Those are, I think, the two which we'd like to just point out concern about. Thank you.
Let me just add the third one. If you look at Mr. Atul Kumar Gupta's CV,
then it is a really outstanding one. Within a short period of time, this person has created a company within South Africa dealing with China, dealing with the Middle East, dealing with India. And if you look at the successes that this person had and you compare it then with what we have spoken about out of Alltech, this is a company of the future. This innovator and this person, I think, should be much higher up on that list than what we've got here. Looking at the staff, he continues, let me read from the fourth paragraph of his CV. He continues to successfully direct the company's 1,000-strong staff complement across Africa, over 1,500 staff in India, and over 500 staff across the Middle East and the remaining parts of Asia subcontinent, which includes markets such as China and Singapore. That, to me, is a real innovator. That is a company that's going places. And this person virtually started it. He didn't inherit it. That's very good. And that's why I would urge that person's name shouldn't have been on number 15. It should have been on number 8. And if we can get that across to the cabinet, then looking at the finances that is controlled by this company who started just 10, 15 years ago. They control 2 billion rand a year in South Africa and over $1 billion internationally. And in doing so, have established Sahara into a leading, proudly South African brand that has been successfully exported to many parts of the world. That, to me, is a person that should have been much higher than what he is. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have a slightly different view from what Mr. Faro has put on the table. I don't call this a conflict of interest, but I call it a convergence of interest.
Yes.
Because if the conflict of interest is a situation where somebody, I think, has committed has committed something that was not previously, something illegal. In this case, I see it as a convergence of interest, which I think the committee is what the committee was looking for. The second thing that I want to raise, Chair, is that in any event, in the scarce skills area, such as this one, if we were to dig deeper, we would find something that we would call conflict of interest, if that's what we want to, if it's what we are looking for. So rather, I think the term convergence of interest would be the right one, would be the relevant one. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Nyandu, I could not say it better than Mr. Nyandu said that, so I won't say much. But you have a very difficult report to write, because while it must be balanced and reflect all views, it must not be, I hope, over-reflective of the concerns about Cheryl Carolus, because there are not general concerns about Cheryl Carolus. It must not be overly concerned about Dr. Cornelius, because the concern, again, is not widespread on this committee. It must not be concerned about inherited wealth or inherited positions of Mr. Fenter, because, again, that concern is not general. It is specific to one or two people on the committee, and so I hope your report reflects that and does not give too much weight to some of the concerns you've heard from Mr. Farrow and Mr. Blanchard. Reflect their views, but please, it is not the dominant view of the committee.
Let's put it this way. You see, a report of the committee reflects more or less the conclusion. not all the comments. The minutes of the committee will reflect details for it. Let's separate the two. And a report that goes to Parliament is a report that goes to say these are the names that we're recommending for the minister to select from, which is maybe 15 names or all 18 names and so on. So, but I don't also want us to lose the gist of the concerns that all the members are raising. Okay? The concerns about sticking to the law in terms of disqualification, the concerns about possible conflict of interest versus convergence of interest, you see, the concerns about the necessity to strengthen the skills, financial, and the other issues that are raised. So I suggest members that, you know, we don't have a train smash here. You see, we have a situation that is manageable. We have a situation that we've got to allow to see on the field. Let's give these members the benefit of the doubt. That's my appeal from here. The benefit of the doubt to be there and so on. You see, Dr. Cornelius, for instance, you have raised the concerns about, falls within a criteria that I think we more or less agreed upon. A criteria that says people who have been in the BRICS are continuing in their capacity. We're not terminating their services. Whether they finish midterm or whatever, in whatever they're doing, but at least maybe Mr. Cornelius was going to be there for the next 2 years. I don't know, you see. And we're adding another 2 years. So there's still a trade smash. If it comes at a later stage, the prospective committee, the next committee, will be able to look into the minutes and say, these concerns were raised about Mr. Fenta, Mr. Cornelius, and, for instance, members wanted Dr. Adam or Professor Adam to be able to serve. So it's a record that is there for everyone to see. Unfortunately, some of us and you and whoever, our job finishes in a few weeks' time, you see. So we might not be there to witness this continuity, but others will be here, you see, who will be able to continue the good work that you have started. So then I'm going to give the last bite from the department, and then we come to the conclusion.
Okay. No, thanks.
The last bite is it?
Before.
Oh, before. There is a point of before.
There's another bite here.
Before you bite.
Actually, Chair, what I want to say is it is the very first time that this committee is exposed to this exercise.
Mm.
So I think let's allow it as is, because it's the very first time. Other committees have been exposed to such, but this one is the first time. Secondly, if there continues to be flaws, then we look at the Act and see what amendments can be made, because that's why laws are made, amended, and repealed, and so forth. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, Chair. Two issues. The first one we've already touched upon about Dr. Cornelius. I think as a panel, we're not appointing him in his capacity as the head of department, but we're recommending for his appointment in his capacity as the chair of BioPed, basically. That's the first one. The second one, I'm not sure if I'll be out of order. I think from our side, we recognize the fact that even the people on the top 10, there will still be some skills gaps. And there was an acknowledgement that there will be board committees. And maybe the committee can recommend that maybe top three or four people who couldn't make it on the list should be opted in the committees of the board, because some of their skills are very critical in terms of making sure that we strengthen the board, because we are restricted by the number 10. But the people who can take the institution forward are more than 10, basically. So that's where Dr. Adam can come in, Mr. Abdul Kumar Gupta can come in, if there's consensus that these people can add value in terms of taking the board forward. But we recognize that the board will need some committee members. We even went to an extent of trying to consider how do we co-opt people who are non-South Africans, who've got international experience, But we said it would be difficult. What you can only do is to co-opt them as committee members. So that may be one of the things that can add value in terms of taking the process forward.
Okay. Can I put the name of number one? Thank you. Number two? Carol? Thank you. Number three? Lux? Number four? Norton? Number five? Cornelius?
Can we express our reservations, please?
Okay, reservations expressed.
Just purely, not because of his qualifications, an excellent person, just purely because of his role as a government head of the boss.
Okay.
Because it should be ex officio.
Okay, agreed, but with reservations about Cornelius
yes.
as the head of department. Okay, number six, Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Number seven, Professor Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Number eight, Gordon Fenton.
Agreed.
Agreed with the reservation?
No reservation.
Okay, the reservations are possible conflict.
Conflict of
interest.
Okay, it will reflect in the minutes like this.
As a minority viewpoint.
In the minutes.
Which is the right, yeah.
As a minority viewpoint.
That's the right, yeah.
As an inheritance.
Okay, sorry. Come again.
Reservation? Will that reservation reflect as a reservation of the committee or a reservation from some of the members?
No. I think the DA has expressed reservation.
As
the DA. Yeah, it will be reflecting as the DA reservation.
Okay.
All right. Patrick Ngwenya, number 9. Doctor?
Agreed.
Number 10, Usomi?
Agreed.
I'll go further than 10 for the purpose of this. So we're just saying that those are the first 10 names that must be considered. But also we're giving the minister the options going down to number 11.
Yeah.
Serve, no problem. Number 12, preferable. Number 13.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
A very good CV.
Good CV, okay.
Long walk to read.
Okay, number 14.
Agreed.
Number 15.
Agreed.
I propose that person as a very strong candidate.
Okay. Should we go beyond 15?
I think so.
Then what do you think? No, I'm just asking for an opinion.
No, 15 is fine. I think we have.
No, why don't? Why are you afraid to say that? That's why you're here, but to give an opinion and advice as well. You see, beyond 15, were there any strong views about the three names? Okay.
I know that Mr. Samuel Mortella has got, you know, some sort of financial support that might be useful in the LCA.
Okay.
Okay.
Members, we hereby agree that we are going to present to the National Assembly the 15 name recommendation in the order of priority that has been expressed by the committee. That we are, I want to say unanimous on this, because I don't want us to vote on this one. But in the minutes, we will reflect the reservations that are reflected, that are raised by the Honorable DA members on the two names of Mr. Cornelius and Mr. Fenton. Is that a fair summary?
Yes.
Thank you very much. You see? I wanted you to have to continue the meeting to the afternoon, but now I'm disappointed that
lunch.
You finished up.
You got no money for lunch.
Yeah.
Now, before I read the report that we need to adopt, I must just check that, is there lunch today? How can you call us from home?
Because you tell us you got no
money. And you don't even give us lunch.
Then
there is no money. But I told you that we gave you money.
Even just ordinary bread that was given to Jesus
disciples was denied. Not even any manna.
Okay, no, that's okay. Listen, members, you'll have to buy your own lunch.
We're joking, we're only joking.
I know. But let's put them under pressure, you see. They must feed us when we're here. Huh? The report reads as follows. Is this one on you? Mr. Blanchet, the report reads as follows. A report of the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology on the short list of candidates for appointment to the Board of Directors of the Technology Innovation Agency in terms of Section 5, Subsection 5 of the Technology Innovation Agency Act of 2008, dated the 17th of March 2008. The Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology, having considered the shortlisted candidates for the Technology Innovation Agency Board, as tabled in the ATC of 6 March, recommends that the following candidates are submitted by the Minister of Science. Okay, the following candidate be approved. Okay, and then it's number 1 to 15. Thank you very much. Then it's agreed, isn't it? Can I have a mover?
Okay.
Who's moving? Who's seconding? Who's soft? Okay, move seconded. Blah blah. No opposition. Fine. Objections noted. Yeah. Anything from you, Aziza, before we move on? Rene? Ngiyavalangoku. Okay. Veluga? Alright.
More than right.
Members, in 2 weeks' time, I'll be having a birthday of 50 years on this planet. Next week, I'm going to give you my account number. All presents must be in cash.
Kind.
and nothing beyond figure 5, you know. And zeros can't be less than 5.
In my province, traditionally, we give a goat.
A goat, right? Okay, bring the goat. No. When I entered here, some members were saying, happy belated birthday, so I thought I must just announce that it's next week on the 27th. Is this one, what is this? Oh! Okay, members, I was about to adjourn the meeting. I'm told that there is we've got minutes as well. Did you read through the minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, what are you saying?
Agreed.
Thank you very much. You make my job very easy. And the report as well?
Yeah.
No reservation.
Is it the report that we skipped the last time?
We
adopted the report there. Now it's developed. Annual report. Okay. Hey, Ian Rob, a little. You know, this comrade of the Western Cape, you know, Ian Rob. Can I just check with members? I think I've gone through this thing. I can't remember if I didn't bring my copy. Yeah. But it's just a factual report about the monies that you've used, and the entities that you've met.
And how much they cost?
And yeah, how much they cost us in terms of, you know? Are you sure that all this money went to them? So you can't vouch for every cent here. No, you recall that how much was given to 300,000 was given to the Scorpions. We had an allocation of 500,000, 300,000 was given away, an expenditure of 85,000. The balance at the time was 114,000. It's the exhausted now.
Pen
in.
Not by
act. Can I check that members have gone through this before?
Just got it now.
You just got it now.
Sorry? I don't
know. You don't have? Because I can adjourn the meeting and come back for us to adopt this. We are here.
No.
Yeah, no, they've got the transfer here. At least it's reflected. 300,000 reflected. That's it. Yeah.
And then what happened to them?
No, they'll reflect it under the travel that you've, you know, to here. Didn't they pay for you? No, 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 it was internal. You recall that some committees did not exhaust their funds. So that money was taken from committees that did not have legislation at the time, given to you to destroy the Scorpio.
Agree.
So, do we adopt this report?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the report is hereby adopted. Members, thank you very much, man. And good luck again for the campaign. Let's go there and have political tolerance and campaign for both. Everybody wants to be in government, so good luck to all of you. When you're in power, you look after us, like we're looking after you now that we're in power.
No, no, not like that.
Better still. Yeah, and Viva African National Congress, I know that you'll bring us a over 70% victory.
Yes,
we've got a new TV star down there.
Sorry?
A new TV star, that young man.
The young man there. Okay. This meeting is adjourned, members. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Uncle. I'm gonna make you around again.
But what is important, right? Diana asked us but to come and discuss the relationship with the
I'll address an empty envelope. You know that the contents are different. No, don't be so excited.
Let's keep it that way.
All good is good to you.